Hello and welcome back to Mess Explorers with Xavier and Alan, where as always we'll be looking at all manner of films from around the world. This week we're heading back to India once again by popular demand for Telavi. So take it away, Alan.
Hello, Steve, and of course, hello to our favourite friends. Welcome back to Mess Explorers. Before we start our trajectory as a successful movie star to an influential politician, remember, as always, our podcast is best enjoyed if you've seen the film prior, as we do contain spoilers. As Steve said, we are looking at Telavi, which is a 2021 film directed by A.L. Vijay. Telavi stars Kangana Ranaut, Adam Insami, Nazar, and Samrat Dilkhani, just to name a few. So without further ado, Steve, let's get straight into the film. What did you think?
Straight out the gate, we got the wailing, we got the abuse, we got the corruption. It's all overlaid with bad dubbing. Pretty much this film had everything I don't like in Indian cinema. And, you know, even the musical number that we got relatively early on, I was like, what the hell? You know, this feels more like it's for raunchy sex appeal than anything else. So I was a little bit conflicted about this film on the whole, and mostly not in a good way.
Yeah.
There was some redeeming features of this film, I will grant, and there was some things that I liked and that I did enjoy. So it was not all bad in my opinion. But on the whole, this film just didn't quite work for me. How about you?
Look, I really wish Indian films would be more creative in the way that they start their opening sequences. It's always usually drab, as you said, you know, with wailings, abuse and corruption. And I guess these concepts are fine, but I just hope they change the way they're shown on screens. Now, we've spoken about the plight of dubbing over and over again in Indian films, but in this case, I think it was targeted to be in multi-language, and they use actors who spoke Tamil, Hindi, Telugu. So I wonder, like, what language the film was actually shot in. And I've got a feeling it could have been Hindi, but I might be wrong. Now, the basic premise of this film is that it accounts the life of actor-turned-politician Jayalalitha, that which is played by Kangana Ranaut, and her relationship with the legendary MGR or MG Ramachandran, played by Arvind Sami. Now, along with her tumultuous rise to power as Chief Minister of Tamil Nadu, you know, we hate doing biopics, and we keep saying this time and time again, we should review them on our show, but I really thought this film was going to be different, and unfortunately it wasn't. I believe that the musical number that you're referring to before was trying to evoke a nostalgia of the past, you know, which for some people who had grown up seeing Jayalalitha in power and in films in the past might have aroused all these different emotions for them as, you know, growing up. But I think music at the same time in films, you know, was very raunchy and steamy back then. And for a conservative country who values their culture as the cornerstone of their identity, it's interesting to see how mainstream cinema at the time portrayed more raunchy scenes to, I guess, gather clout.
Okay, yeah, I agree. It was almost certainly an attempt to capture some sort of period nostalgia. So in that case, yeah, fair enough, and I'll give a concession for that. Regarding the shot language, though, I actually did notice that it was available in, I think, 4 languages on Amazon Prime. So I immediately expected dubbing, but I had hoped that given we watched a Tamil language version, that essentially given the primary market and setting for this film was Tamil Nadu, that we would have actually had native audio in Tamil, but obviously, alas, no. But on that note, you know, a couple of the other major gripes I had was the fact that Amu / Jaya looks anything but 16 from the outset. And to my mind, that means it's very poorly cast. You know, she's mid-30s in reality, and she looks every bit of it. And we have had this pop up in a number of Indian films reviewed, where they use the one actor to play through multiple periods of time and ages. And it just doesn't work sometimes. Some people just can't pull that off. And I don't understand why, if that's the case, you wouldn't just use multiple people to play the different roles at various stages and ages. Because it's a perfectly acceptable thing to do. And provided the narrative makes it clear that, you know, there has been a passage of time and we're talking about the same characters, then it works perfectly. That being said, though, another one of my pet peeves actually refers a little bit to this passage of time. Now, I don't know if this is just an Amazon thing or if it was just the Tamil language version or what the issue was, but there were no subtitles for any of the written content on screen. And that made some of the story exceptionally difficult to follow for someone that doesn't actually speak the language. Now, the gold text with dates was obviously important to the film, but completely without context for someone like myself who doesn't speak or read the language. And so too, you know, when the producer received a note with rotten donuts in the box, I have no idea what it said, and it was no doubt a poignant piece of the film which actually needed to be understood. Now, I got the general idea of what was occurring in this film, particularly given the dates were written in, you know, sort of Arabic numerals and I could understand the dates. But again, I had no context around what it was trying to tell me, so I had to sort of piece together this passage of time retrospectively with what was happening in the story. And, you know, I've complained about errors in subtitles previously, you know, such as typographical things. And this film was no exception. It was absolutely littered with typographical errors. But for me, failing to translate written text, which was central to the film, was absolutely appalling. And there is no excuse for that, because it is pivotal, crucial stuff. Now, that being said, on a more positive note, so this isn't all Mr. Grumbles, you know, the big set in the dance number with lots of extras and choreography was actually quite nice. And I know it's a little bit panderous, and, you know, I'm probably sort of taking a Westerner's take of, oh, look, nice dance number. But, you know, lots of the Indian films we've done of late have actually not had those big sort of musical numbers. And I will admit, I actually did enjoy finally getting to watch a film that did dabble in one.
Yeah. Look, as for the subtitles, Abe, I completely agree with you. A film of this budget and caliber shouldn't be subjected to missed or lacking of information for the audience to understand, especially for non-Tamil speaking viewers. I speak Tamil. I'm not the best reader of Tamil, and I would have struggled, and I did struggle. I had no idea, you know, I just like for someone who doesn't read Tamil on a frequent basis, this is, you know, this was something that I would have struggled with if I didn't pause it. And I didn't manage to pause the film, you know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where, even for me, a native speaker, I absolutely was frustrated with that. And it's, you know, we've told Netflix off, and now we're telling Amazon off. And Indian cinema, you just gotta do better. Because, you know, if I was the director of the film, I would have demanded that this film is served justice. Now, with the dance numbers, you're absolutely right. We have done films that haven't had dance numbers in the past, and I think that's by choice. I've tried to pick films for us that doesn't pander to the common tropes of Indian cinema, where, you know, you got the three songs, the 4-hour runtime, you know. I'm embellishing it now, but, you know, you know exactly what I mean. But I think for this movie to have songs, it's like I said, it was pandering to the timeline. It is a biopic, and these things did happen. She was a movie star, you know, like she was in a lot of movies with MGR, and I think that's what they're trying to do. Look, I think the intention of the film was for audiences to reminisce on old times and old films with Jayalalitha and MGR in it.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on, Zabe. There are a lot of dialogue and dramatic slow-mo walks in this, you know, sketchy political second half. And shoddy editing and loud background score just feels jarring. The execution lacks restraint and objectivity. Vijay takes a one-dimensional approach to storytelling, and his observation of the lead character, you know, Ajay is either sort of smirked at or she's sort of worshipped, and there's no in-between. And I just didn't like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. The story did feel very one-dimensional a lot of the time. It was this sort of polar swing. There was not much middle ground. You either loved her or you hated her. And I think, you know, in one sense, it was probably trying to capture perhaps the feeling of the people at the time, that sort of polar opposing sort of political views and sort of that disgruntled nature of her own party not wanting her to be part of it after MGR and things such as that. But by the same token, I think when you are going to have a film like this, you need to flesh out the characters to be much better developed than that, because we're watching this essentially, as you say, it's a biopic. There is more than just these polar opposites. In retrospect, you can see so much more than you may have seen at the time. And I think that was the important part. But stylistically, yes, even that was very one-dimensional. There was a lot of this slow motion walking and these apprehensive and pensive looks over the shoulder and these sort of smarmy looking people all the time. And it did get a bit tedious and repetitive, because you were sort of seeing the same thing over and over and over. And it got to a point where you went, okay, I understand that this person does not like her. Get over it. Move on. Stop showing me this same argument time and time again. And as to your point with the music, it was the same deal. Every time someone did something powerful, particularly Jaya, you know, it was when she was, you know, standing up to the man, essentially. You got this big crescendo of music, and it was as though it was sort of the dialogue to say, oh, look at this, she's cool, she's tough, she's going to show them who's boss. And to me, if you depend so heavily on the score of the film to sell the emotion, then you haven't got the dialogue and the character delivery sufficiently well-rounded, because we should be able to feel that from the characters, not the score supporting them.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Zabe, you're absolutely spot on here, mate. And look, I just have a few more gripes that I want to mention before we go into some of the themes in the film. Look, the film tries to stay true to real events, but it does a little work by the way of, you know, its writing or the narrative behind it. It does a little to explore the inner journey of any of its characters, right? And there's an exaggeration of events for dramatic effect. So much that, you know, I feel like we could make 2 or 3 or maybe 4 biopics from this one. And I really hope that's not going to happen. It's almost like the director's giving Jayalalitha a sainthood or martyrdom. But there was a lot of controversy behind her. And like, these are just some of my gripes, that it was sort of a biased, one-sided take on a director's vision.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hope we don't get multiple biopics out of this. But if we do, can I just say, I'm pretty sure Amazon, the director, the subtitles have got the actual name of the main guy wrong. Everything says MJR, and I'm sure he's MGR.
That's 100% right. It is MGR.
Okay. How the hell do you screw that up? Seriously. You're doing a biopic. Get the name right.
Yeah, it's even IMDb has sort of followed suit, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Actually, no, I'm going to let you continue. Tell me some of the themes that you've noticed in this film.
Okay, well, I think one of the biggest themes in this film was obviously the main theme at which this film was actually trying to gun for. Mm. And it was to do with, you know, the misogyny, which is endemic in India, and at all levels. And we saw this in the film from the old woman outside the studios when Jaya is sort of an actress sort of starting to step into the political arena and holds the hand of MGR, JR, whatever one you want to go with. So all the way through to the political arena where they essentially abuse and try to disrobe her in the houses of government. And you know, it is really dealing with a massive issue, and it's something that we've discussed in a lot of the films that we've watched previously, because despite the fact that this film is set throughout, you know, sort of the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, we're into 2020s now, and it is still a theme that is occurring in nearly every single Indian film we watch. So it's one of those themes that it really does show it as an endemic and ongoing issue in India.
Look, I think you're spot on here, mate. Like, the flaws of misogyny or the claws of misogyny is ever prevalent in this film. We see it at all levels, like you've mentioned. And I feel like there are times where MGR himself is guilty of this. There's a scene where, you know, she's trying to get him to act in the film and he's entered the political arena. And he's like, look, I don't have time for you right now. You don't understand politics. And look, I'll come back to you, right? And it's almost like women can be compartmentalized because men's visions and trajectories are more important. And I guess, irrespective of the controversies that occurred in her political life for women and what she's done for women, I think it's pretty amazing to have someone like, you know, someone stand up to such a system and to fight against it. I thought that was very evident in this biopic and like also in the research that we've done about her previous life.
Yeah, and I think, you know, further to that, the fact that we did see, albeit only little elements in the film, but the fact that she sort of tried to straighten out some of the issues around the education system, the children, the food, and sort of ensuring that, I guess not just girls, but sort of the children entirely, but including girls most importantly, actually had that opportunity to upskill to become something. And we did see that through the girl that was at the railway crossing that later was the doctor that was looking after her, and she sort of wasn't aware of that at the time. And I think whether that happened in real life or not, maybe not the case. It seemed a little bit too convenient and probably a bit of poetic license in there. But I think it was a nice notion because it was sort of saying that, you know, if women stand up in their current generation, then it helps the generations that come after them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much that has truly been successful in India, given we'd still see so much about how this sort of misogyny and whatnot is endemic at, you know, just a cultural and social level. But I would like to think that, you know, the likes of Jaya had actually had a profound impact, even if just on the people in sort of her local district, to actually improve their lot in life. And even if she only helped 100 girls get further in life than they otherwise may have, I think, you know, that is something that's 100 girls that may then do something each for another 100. And it is that sort of pay it forward type of notion, even if it's at a not a particularly conscious level on all accounts.
Yeah.
But along those notes, though, you know, when we are talking about the things that sort of motivate us and inspire us and these notions of generations before us and the things that sort of push them into action, there was this little line in there, which sounded like a nice line. And she said, a tiger may get old, but it doesn't become a cat. Now, at face value, you sort of go, oh, okay, I get what it's going for. It's a nice sentiment. But by the same token, I listen to it and go, that's completely stupid. A tiger is a cat by definition.
Exactly. Now,
writing stuff that sounds empowering and grandiose doesn't work when it's just plainly wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the notion. I get what it was going for. And I can respect it for the power it was trying to sort of employ and gather. But it didn't work because it's just flawed from the outset. And I think when you deliver a flawed line, you have a flawed notion. And that really goes against the purpose of this film.
No, look, I think Indian films have a habit of doing this, making, you know, these little punch lines, as they call them, or punch dialogues. You know, it's meant to arouse the crowd in the cinema, like get these round of applause moments. And we sort of see it again where she's been persecuted in the political chambers and she, you know, like she's called a slut and like a tramp, and her sari gets pulled and she stands in front of the arena and says, I'm not going to set foot in here again. And then she compares her plight to that of the scriptures of the holy book Mahabharata, where another name for that is Jaya. And I don't know if that's true, or I don't know if she's just saying that, you know, the atrocities faced in those stories in that book is very similar to what she faces. And when you smite women historically in that book, then, you know, they rise up to smite you. I'm not too sure. Like my knowledge is a bit limited, but you know, it sounds all grandiose, but it's like, did you just, like, it's like me saying another name for the Bible is out. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like, it sounds great if I say it in a great way, but maybe there's no element of truth to it. So,
yeah, I understand what you mean. I have to say that was all completely lost on me because I didn't understand enough of the context. I don't know about that book. I don't know about the names, and I don't know about the sort of connotations and things. So I did watch that scene and just went, okay, it's just an empowering speech.
Yeah.
So on others, it probably would have had more efficacy, whether it's right or wrong. But by the same token, when I had no context, it kind of was a bit meaningless as well.
Mm.
So hopefully it is accurate for the sake of, you know, our native speaking audiences that may actually have that contextual awareness. Mm.
Now, some of the controversies that the film didn't speak about, because it was actually one-sided, and then we mentioned this as well, is that Jayalalitha was a six-time chief minister in South India, and she was accused of misusing her office during her first tenure as chief minister during, I think, 91 and 96 to gain a net worth of, or properties worth of 66.65 crores, which is equivalent to $41 million.
Wow.
In 2020. So, and then I guess she deposited them and the amount into like other proxy accounts. And I guess, you know, of the recent Panama Papers that were leaked, you know, I'm sure there are many, you know, other politicians who are in the same boat. And I think there is a notion or understanding in India where politics is not solely about doing good, but it's a business that, you know, they invest so much money to get into it, because when you control the state funds and the government finances from the central government, you know, you can actually double, triple, or quadruple your profits. And I think it's become an investment for the people getting into politics. And it's very skewed in that way. And a lot of films actually portray that, because in India, films are depictions of their reality or a part of their reality.
Well, look, it's actually disappointing to hear that, because there was actually a scene in this film that sort of made quite a prominent case on Jaya's part, where she was talking about corruption and essentially people using the money or misappropriating the monies of the government for their own personal, I guess, benefit. And so to find out that she amassed, you know, in the order of $41 million during her tenure, it reeks of hypocrisy. And
exactly.
It does make you sort of wonder what this film was actually going for then, if essentially it's trying to tell a truth at the time, which we know is probably a lie.
Yes.
It's kind of like you're just sugarcoating something which can't be redeemed no matter how much sugar.
Yeah. Well, in 96, there was this case of the colour TV scandal, where these television sets were provided to villages, you know, under the government community education and development plan. And, you know, these officials were accused of buying these TVs at inflated prices. And then they ended up claiming the money back through retailers as forms of kickbacks. And this is like in her tenure as well. But look, having said that, there are many positive things that she's done for the people of South India. Like, she came up with this scheme where anyone could anonymously give their newborn babies to the state, and the state would sort of take care of them, even giving the state the right to give the babies up for adoption. And this might sound like a really weird thing, but the scheme was aimed at lowering the number of female feticides and gender-based abortions in India, which is actually highly prevalent. Now, there were, you know, like, there were other things where she was offering like gold and cash up to about 50,000 rupees to financially backward women to support degree and diplomas. You know, she started initiatives like Amma Water, Amma Laptops, baby care kits, insurance and pharmaceutical benefits. So she was very centered on female empowerment, because I think for her, she realized female empowerment is the backbone of India and of many nations.
Yeah, and I think, look, in fairness to her, she probably was still, as it was largely portrayed, one woman sitting at the top of a lot of men. And I think there's probably a lot of people that were used to the old system, and they were probably largely embroiled in a lot of these sort of pseudo corrupt or maybe even blatantly corrupt practices as well. So she may be actually getting tarred with the brush of which she was not directly responsible for as well.
Yeah, exactly right. So, Saif, shall we move on to some cinematography? Because I know you have a few things to say about how great it was.
Sure. Look, I guess a lot of my stuff isn't actually about the cinematography per se. I think the film, in terms of the way it was shot, for the most part, was good. Yeah, obviously it was shot, again, with those sort of stylistic tropes in mind, so that you could do these slow downs, slow turns, you know, gaze into the eyes, feel this sort of sense of power and wonderment. But it didn't really stray too far from what we've seen in other Indian cinema. It sort of had a lot of those same stylistic feels. And that's okay, because to some extent, I didn't mind. Because it was effective. And I know that I've said before, it sounds like criticism saying something just worked because it was effective. But I think if it's not bad, then it's done its job. So that was fine. I think what I had a bigger issue with was a lot of, I guess, the supporting artifacts that was part of the cinematography slash edit phase. And one of the biggest ones of these was these pathetic low resolution graphics that they used in certain scenes of the film. And one particular scene that stood out to me was the targets at the shooting range. It was just these absolutely appalling graphics that looked like they were taken from a video game in 1997. And it's the sort of thing which you could have done for real. You can hang a piece of paper on a hay bale and put a bullet through it, shoot a BB gun at it, I don't care, but do something properly. There is no reason to digitize something that rubbish and then do it that poorly as well. Likewise, the airplane footage that they had, it appeared to be taken from something like Flight Simulator. Now, nothing to take away from Flight Simulator. It's a wonderfully sort of realistic looking game, but it's not real. And you can buy stock footage of an airplane. This isn't difficult stuff, and it's not expensive stuff. So again, why do it? Just do it properly. And likewise, you know, sorry to harp on about this, but some of the scenes on the campaign trail towards the end of the film, they're digital backgrounds and crowds. Now, if you can't do it well, again, don't do it. We don't need a shot of, you know, 200 people in the foreground and then decidedly static, furry, out of focus, digital people in the background just to make the crowds look bigger. You know, it just wasn't necessary.
Maybe the director's following the footsteps of Jay Lalther and like skimming off the top from the producers. Vijay, I'm not accusing you of anything, mate, but you know, you got to do better. Yeah?
Yeah.
But for a film about two of India's legends, you would think that the budget would have been slightly higher. And I guess this is a message to all filmmakers, where possible, please, please, please try and use practical effects or use high quality CGI. Please don't try and cut corners with these low level childish filmmaking techniques, because it just doesn't work. The shooting range scene was just laughable, and the aeroplane scene reminded me of watching a children's TV program, say. Now, the team did a great job in recreating the old world and old footage, but the technical element of digital design was such a letdown in this film. Now, I have to give a special shout out to Nita Lula's costumes. They were so comprehensive and effective, you know, from the conical bras of the 60s to the vintage props, the wing-eyed makeup and the back-combed hairstyles. The recreation of the previous era was very, very impressive, even if it wasn't, you know, that specific.
Look, I actually will give props to her as well, because you're right, this film actually did capture some of the period stuff quite well. And again, I don't know how absolutely accurate it was to the period for India, because, you know, I didn't live through that period and I'm not from there, but it certainly captured that feel of the time period. And I think, you know, for a film of this scale and this duration to have actually gone to that extent and executed it that well, I think, you know, that is impressive in its own right, and absolutely kudos to them for that.
Yeah. So say, with that being said, shall we wrap this film up?
For sure. So, look, this film was going for a poignant message about the rights, roles, and respect, or complete lack thereof in India, of women. And it was nice to see this in cinema, especially given I've remarked many a time on our previous reviews of Indian cinema how women are so poorly treated and represented. This film did feel a little bit too much like it was pandering at times, especially through the music, as I said earlier, because it was heightened to such an extent and crescendoed at times of power that it still somehow downplayed the power of a woman in her own right, as though she needed the music to ensure the audience felt it rather than the character herself. However, I am going to write that off as perhaps cinematic cultural difference, as I could see what the film was going for, and without overanalyzing, and for that purpose, like in many other films, it actually worked. So while I think this film did have some redeeming features, it definitely had a lot of issues. So I'm going to give this film a 5.8 out of 10.
Look, you're right, Dave. This is the same tropes that we've seen time after time, and the director would have known that, and I give them a pass since it's a biopic that occurs back in time. But where Vijay could have sort of stood out is by depicting the misogynistic tropes in new cinematic ways and not the old stale ways that we're sort of known to or privy to. Thalavi, in my opinion, pays a reverberating ode to MGR and Jaya's tender love story, which in essence can be described as a relationship without titles. However, the political aspect felt too drawn out for me. It was undercooked and often at times one-sided, but I guess that's how mediocre biopics are actually made, with the promotion of one-sided propaganda. And that's just atrocious. The only thing that actually stays with the viewer after watching this film is the story of a woman who defied the odds and wrote her own destiny. And it's for those reasons I'm going to give this film a 4.8 out of 10. And that's me being very generous.
Oh, brutal. I thought you would have been much closer to my score, but there you go. There you go, folks. Sometimes I do rate our Indian films higher than Alan. But on that note, that's all from us, folks. And remember, you can let us know what films you'd like us to do too. Just drop us a comment on our socials. But until then, we've hoped you've enjoyed yet another episode from us. And remember to give us a follow and subscribe on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, and recommend us to your friends and family. Until next week, though, goodbye from us.
See you all next week. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe, guys. Bye. Do I lie? Would I get a day at the Kayhari?